Hebrews chapter number 12,
probably a familiar passage of Scripture for most of you. Just the first three verses, and then we're going to be in a number of places. As we approach a new year and the close of the year that we're currently in, you should at least congratulate yourself that you're still here. That you're hanging on, whether it be by your fingernails or by the skin of your teeth. The fact that you're still here says a lot, because you live in a day and time where more times than not, Christians are not getting unsaved, but they're no longer serving Jesus Christ. Many Christians have decided to stay home, to vacate God's place of worship. They've decided that God is not as real to them as He used to be, or that they've already done their portion of service, and therefore they don't need to do any more than they've already done. They've gone into the retirement phase of Christianity, which says, you know, I served the Lord all these years, it's time for somebody else to step in and do it. And they're no longer even doing what they could do. But I don't think that's how the Lord wants us to finish. It's not how I would like to finish. And I doubt seriously that you would be here if that's how you want to finish. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." You might put a note there, "Run your own race." "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Good to have Brother Larry back with us. And not limping near bad as he used to be. You ask the Lord to bless the service, would you please? And we're Bible believers. Thank you. You can be seated. I know that you are here because you're a Bible believer, or you're tuned in because you're a Bible believer. And if we're Bible believers, the Lord gives us a word of caution in verse number 3 that we often move too quickly at and don't pause long enough to stop, that the Lord does not excuse the fact that there's going to be weariness when it comes to Christian service. There's going to be weariness in the Christian life. He said, if you don't consider Him, look in verse number 3, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You might not faint in your body, though we're going to deal with that in just a little while. But He said, if you don't consider Him, it's going to wear you out. Because in the Christian life, contrary to what everybody says, it's not all like the day you got saved. The day you got saved, the burden of sin was removed. Most of us felt a lifting of that burden, and we felt very, very happy that our burdens were lifted at Calvary and that our sins are forgiven, and now we're going to heaven. And then we settle into what I call the traces. We begin to plow. We begin to pull the plow. We take His yoke upon us, and we begin our learning phases. And so often, many times, people take certain weights and place them upon us before we're ready to be able to handle those weights. And those weights, He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does. So the weight sometimes is necessary to make you stronger, but sometimes it's too much and it can actually break you. Sometimes if you try to carry somebody else's weight before you're ready to carry that weight, or do what somebody else expects of you, you know what can happen? The devil can utilize that, and your flesh will convince you, hey man, I can't do this. This is way too much for me to carry. But sometimes as we get older, that weight of things that we used to do, the expectation of being able to do other things, and then little things happen in our lives. I want to try to relieve you today to tell you that weight changes over time. You kind of have this little bit of a pinnacle, and certain things that used to not be heavy for you to carry all of a sudden become heavy because your mind is on other things or you have other responsibilities. Sometimes sickness comes into your life. Sometimes something tragic comes into your life. And the things that you used to do without thinking about it now become such a heavy weight. Paul says you have the liberty to lay those things aside. Why? Because they're getting between you and the most important thing you can have after salvation, and that's your fellowship with Jesus Christ. He says, lay aside the weight. The weight is not a sin. But sometimes when we get older, or maybe going through a phase in our Christian life where we begin to get a little bit weaker in the sense that we're stretched or spread a little too thin, and if we aren't careful, if we continue to try to maintain carrying the weight we used to carry, that weight that we used to carry so easily, we'll wind up become burdensome and eventually it can break us. I heard a guy say, and I've said it many times before, well, I would rather wear out than rust out. But the truth is, the old preacher said, either way, you're still out. Amen. Whether you go out by rusting out because you're sitting on the side or wearing out, most likely got out before you should have gotten out. Because he said, let us run the race with patience. There's a pace to the race. And can I say this? It's not like it was when you first began. When you're young and when you first start out and you don't have all the responsibilities, maybe of marriage or children or a job or financial responsibility, oh, you're so free and so liberated. I mean, you can take on all kind of things. You can be at church every time the doors are open. You can pray without ceasing. Boy, you can sing the hymns of Zion. And you got all this liberty to do all this stuff. You can show up for everything, every event that the church has because you don't have any other responsibility. You don't have a whole bunch of bills to pay. You don't have a lot of things to do. But then all of a sudden you get married. And then you have children. And believe it or not, children can eat a lot. They're like cows. They don't know when to stop. Amen. It's like they have hollow leg girls too. You won't keep eating like that forever and look the way you do. Trust me. Y'all are all skinny as a rail. Thank the Lord for it. But I remember when all y'all was little flat little plumpkins. Plumpkin, that's the same as a pumpkin that's plump. But now all of a sudden you're still eating the same amount, but you got all this energy and you're doing all this stuff. Guys, I'm telling you, you're going to look like Pear Man one day if you keep eating like you're eating now, but you got so much energy. But as you get older, guess what happens? The weight that you used to carry so easily can become somewhat burdensome. And if you're not careful to know when to lay aside certain things, it can get between you and your relationship with the Lord. Let me try to help you to understand something. If you're drowning, that's not the time to try to save everything that you had in the ship's cargo before you, when the ship was above the water. When you're drowning, the most important thing is to preserve your life and the life of those around you. Would you agree with that? In your Christian life, it's not as important to hold on to the weight as it is to hold on to Him. That's a mouthful. We should be able to stand and be dismissed right there. The misnomer is that by me holding on to the weight, that must mean that I'm holding on to Him. That doesn't mean anything. Sometimes the weights can drive you away. You got so much weight on you, the Lord's going, hey, come on, let's go. You know, you need to set that down so you can keep the pace that I want you to keep. Lord, I can't. I got all these things that I got to do. All these things I've got to juggle. All these responsibilities. And Lord, if I don't do those things, who's going to get those things done? And the Lord's like, hey, I got to go. And you can't keep up with me while you're trying to handle all those weights. He said, listen, you better consider me. All I was concerned about was bearing the weight that was on me, and that was the burden that I had to bear for your sins. But I couldn't do everything else at the same time. I'm trying to give you liberty. The Bible says, and in my calling verse, he said that I was to set captives free, not put them in bondage. I don't believe in this clothesline stuff of always just adding more things for you to do. I don't believe in being like the priest that comes down there for the individual that's fallen by the wayside there and adding to him, well, if you just do the following things, everything's going to be okay. Can I say this carefully? I believe in doing things for the Lord, but not at the expense of your relationship with the Lord. Amen. Sometimes we get so caught up in what we're doing, we forget who it is we're doing it for. And the purpose of doing it is to, number one, get us closer to Him, and number two, to draw others to Him. And sometimes we get so caught up in the work like Martha that the weight gets so heavy to us, He says, you know what? You need to lay aside that weight. It's not a sin, but the devil's convinced you that, hey, you got to bear that weight. That's a burden. Well, the Bible says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Why? For my yoke is easy and my burden is what? And my burden is what? Come on, you're a Bible believer. You can say that. I know it feels like a curse word. My burden is what?
Light.
It should be a joy. It should be understanding. Yes, I'm in the yoke, and yes, I'm under a burden, but compared to His burden, He's bearing most of it. Whenever it begins to get heavy and it starts slowing you down and your relationship gets where, man, I just can't stay in fellowship with the Lord and I'm just so burdened about all the stuff that's got to get done. Paul said, you better lay aside those weights, man, because you know what? Those weights are now becoming a curse, and before long, you're going to be bitter. Because your life has changed. It may not look like it now, but I used to be able to lift quite a bit of weight. But at 60, if I tried to do what I did when I was 27, it would kill me. I would hurt something for sure. No matter if I had continued to train the way that we trained in those days, the fact of the matter is age catches up with you sooner or later and you can't continue to do it because you're deteriorating. Oh, I might still be able to do if I had continued to train maybe more than most people my age, but I could never go back to the golden age of being able to do what I could do when I was 20s and 25 and 27 and 30 and all that kind of stuff. And to try to maintain that becomes a weight now that is more than I can bear, and it slows me down in other things. Not only do I not have the physical strength, I don't have the mental discipline, the want to, the drive that I used to have. But guess what? I hadn't got the time. I mean, back when I was doing that, life was pretty simple. A few cans of tuna fish and some yogurt, maybe some eggs in the refrigerator. That was my grocery shopping. Toilet paper, doing pretty good with that. Just saying. I got water out of the tap. I really didn't have a whole lot of other things. Coffee machine. I didn't have a coffee machine. I went by Dunkin' Donuts or whatever to get coffee only before I was training. I was running, coming off the midnight shift or something. I mean, life was simple for me. Then I got married. And it's like, wow, you mean we can't just live off of yogurt and tuna fish? She's like, we're not going to just live like that. You're going to have to change some of your eating habits. And, oh, I can't just go at 3 o'clock in the morning to go train. No, 3 o'clock in the morning, you're supposed to be at the house. Well, that's going to get in my training schedule because used to when I, yeah, but you ain't single no more. And there's other people in the house now. You don't get to just go and do what you want to do. You wake them up and things like that. Now, well, let me just say, you're trading off that weight for a better thing. But if you try to hold on to what used to be, you miss out on the better thing. Because you're so cumbered about with much serving, so involved in the wake, trying to maintain that particular situation, that there's never any growth that comes with it. Sometimes, let me say this, weights are greatly associated with guilt. In the South, that's one of the things we employ a lot. We guilt trip people into everything. Holidays is a great time. Just go ahead and pack your bag because you're going on a guilt trip before the day is over. Amen. Y'all laughed because you know that's the truth. We employ guilt as a way of motivation. And sometimes what you need to do is leave that suitcase empty and realize, hey, I can't bear that weight or what you think I ought to be doing. I got to do what the Lord wants me to do now. I can't fulfill your dreams. Daddy, sometimes you try to vicariously live through that child some sort of sports career that you thought you might could have when somebody need to have told you if they really cared about you, you just did not have the ability to play professional ball, let alone college ball. But in your mind's eye, it's kind of like, well, you know, if I had a scout look at me and I just had, you know, I had a real potential to be so-and-so. And then that boy comes along and the next thing you know, you've got a bat in his hand or a ball in his hand or a club in his hand and you're filling his life full of this idea, this mindset of, hey, you have the potential. Probably not. Probably not. There's not a Michael Jordan in here. See, it's just like, oh, you just person. What's wrong with dreaming? Let's get reality. That's a nightmare. That's not a trying to live up to something that's not possible. You should talk to some people in here that are real, true, God-given, God-talented athletes and let them tell you what it was like to compete at a college level and then tell them what the difference is competing at that level and competing in the pros. Just because you're good in junior high and high school don't even mean you can compete with the boys at college. And when it comes from that, it's like going from Pee Wee League to the pros. There's that much difference. What I'm saying is sometimes bearing the expectations of other people can become a weight that can keep you away from God.
Sure.
Amen. Listen, I want to try to relieve you of that. Don't ever try to live your Christian life to please everybody else. Be what God wants you to be and enjoy your relationship with Him and realize if they're trying to put you into some kind of a box, it's because they got too much time on their hands.
Amen.
None of us have arrived, ladies and gentlemen. We all are still growing. We all, some of us out more than up. But at any rate, we're still growing. That was funny. But here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes that weight needs to be laid aside. Because you equate that weight with, quote, serving Jesus, and the Lord's like, you know what? That's between me and you right now. You're so trying to have this ministry or to do this thing that you think is equated with me and you. Would you just lay that aside and come follow me? Everybody that followed Jesus Christ was doing what God had called them to do. Peter was not in the temple sitting around waiting for God to come by. He was out fishing. Everybody that God called, Matthew was taking up taxes. Called them while they were doing what they were supposed to be doing. Nothing in the Bible shows Matthew fishing. Because he was a tax collector. He would have been a very poor fisherman, as would have Peter been a tax collector. I can imagine Peter as a tax collector. Can you imagine that? I mean, Peter would have been like, you're going to pay or I'm going to pound you into eternity. I mean, there was no negotiation at all. That was the end of the story. But he was a pretty decent fisherman. So let me just show you a couple of things if I can to help you to realize that the devil doesn't care how he gets you out. He simply wants you out.
Amen.
So let's break the shackles off of this preconceived notion of I've got all of these things to do. Listen, serving Jesus Christ is a privilege.
Amen.
And being able to come and worship Him and walk with Him and spend time for Him and even, yes, work for Him, all of that stuff is a privilege. It should not be, as we go through these things, something that weighs you down. If it weighs you down, I will say unequivocally, in my opinion, it's not God.
Amen.
I believe God wants you to enjoy your walk with Him.
Amen.
I don't know. Some of you have had some knee surgery here before. But to expect Miss Maxine to be here every time the doors are open right after she had her knee replaced is ludicrous. And if she bears the weight of your expectations, she's going to feel defeated all the time. See, what'd she do? Turned it on the TV when she felt like watching it. Brother Bert had both of his done at two different times. To expect him to do what he was doing prior to that time would be unrealistic and not fair for you to put on him. Well, I don't know where Brother Bert's at. I mean, I don't know why he can't come in a wheelchair. And I don't know, well, wait. You ain't had your knee replaced. Well, we got a deacon. He's had his knee replaced. Where's he at? He's at the house healing because Miss Trish has him duct taped to the chair. Hallelujah. Against his will. When he goes to sleep, he wakes up and is like, Trish, what have you done? La, 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 la. Do you say something, honey? Yes, I said, let me go. Not with that attitude. What I'm trying to use is a silly illustration to say, some of you, if you would only get this first point, you are still trying to bear the weight of Christianity. That weight was borne by Jesus Christ. That weight was taken off of you. You have been set free. And if whatever you're doing, even if it is in service for the Lord, is so heavy and burdensome, you need to check it this morning. Enjoy your Christian life. Use your liberty, but not as an occasion to the flesh. Could you turn over to Galatians chapter number 6, please? Galatians chapter number 6. I'm already warm. Are you warm? I heard somebody say, whew. That's Southern expression for, give us a little AC there, please, Brother Roger. Suddenly, as if by magic. Galatians chapter number 6. You remember years ago I preached a message here about don't fall out along the way. Amen. You remember that a long time ago? Tell me you remember. You'll hurt my feelings. Amen. If you don't remember it, it's good. I'll just re-preach it. And then you'll be like, oh yeah, now we remember. It's too late now. We already started on it. But in that message, I utilize a lot of things that went on in the life of Joseph and his brothers to try to illustrate to you that there are many things along the way that can cause you to get discouraged in the way and to get weary in well-doing. Weary in well-doing doesn't mean physically tired, though there is a time for that. Weary in well-doing means we get tired of doing what is right to do. Now let me define right to do. Right to do is not my definition, and then I put my definition of right to do on Brother Donnie Roberts back there. Oh, brother. Brother Donnie, you do what I think you should do, and that way you're going to have joy and happiness. No. That's not what right to do is. It's right to do according to what God's got Brother Donnie doing. Brother Donnie might be doing something different than I'm doing. There will be a lot of things that are the same. We read our Bible and we study and we pray. But the Lord may have Brother Donnie taking care of his family right now and doesn't have time to do street work or doesn't have time to knock on a door or doesn't have time to be at every event. Maybe all Brother Donnie can do is get here on a Sunday morning all the way from Orlando, and some of you are going, man, I got to endure this Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. I feel like I'm in the tribulation, so I think Brother Donnie should be here. But if you had to drive 2.5 hours one way, you might see things a little different. The problem I'm trying to get across to you is he can become weary and well-doing because somebody says you should be doing more than you're doing. In the Bible, if you'll just give me a little liberty this morning to try to help you to swallow this, because it's contrary to what most people teach. They have you come to church to add to the weight. The Lord is not interested in that. The Lord is interested in relieving you. He doesn't want gripers and moaners and complainers that are discouraged in the way, that are doing all they can, and somebody else comes along and says, hey, let's put a little more weight on you. Let's put a little more weight on you. Christianity has been mislabeled as this burdensome sag bag and drag. I'm mad, I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I'm bitter, I'm never doing enough, I'm never good enough, I can't be enough, I'm just lower than whale poop in the bottom of the ocean mentality. And that is not what Christianity is. We should have the joy. We got the Bible. We got the Holy Spirit. We should enjoy serving the Lord. But too often, our expectations of others cause us to be disappointed and discouraged in the way. Because they're not doing what we think they should be doing, because we got a weight on us that we shouldn't have on us. Is this making any sense at all? I'm thinking when I'm putting this together, I'm thinking y'all are going to be like, wow, man, I'm set free. I'm loose, man. I'm not in the jail cell. I don't have on handcuffs. I'm having a blessing. Y'all are like, I don't know. I'm kind of scared out there. I don't know if I can be trusted. Well, how do you know what kind of a fellowship you have with the Lord if you can't be trusted? You have to be in a greenhouse all the time? How do you know how strong the ship is unless it goes through a storm? How do you know whether or not the house can stand unless a storm comes and floods come and winds blow? How does a Christian ever determine he's making any headway if he is so cumbered about with being in this little tiny box? He never steps out and enjoys the goodness of God. Hey, I'm saved. I've been set free. I'm not a Muslim with a towel on my head and a rug under my knees. I'm not a Mormon. I got to go knock on every door and make sure I try to get there. I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist Jehovah's Witness. Got to keep the law. Hey, I've been set free. I should be enjoying Jesus. And all we do nowadays, we get a bunch of Baptists come to church. It's like, oh, I'm going to church. Oh, God. They're going to add another notch to my belt, another rung on my ladder, another weight to my tray. That's not Jesus at all.
Amen.
He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will do what? Give you what?
Rest.
I ought to be enjoying being saved. I ought to have a restful peace of mind in my heart while I'm busy for doing something for the Lord. Just so that you know, I don't do what I do because I have to do it. I enjoy doing it. I like it. If you can't tell, I don't know how else to convince you. I enjoy it. Do I get physically tired at times? Yes. But that does not even come close to touching the hem of the garment of how wonderful it is to be able to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to be saved, and to enjoy being saved. My worst day is their best day. But you know what you have to learn? You have to learn not to bear somebody else's weight. Somebody else's responsibility. Galatians chapter number 6. Let me try to... There's no sense in even saying, hurry, I ain't going to. In the Bible... Honestly, folks, if you'll listen to this, I promise you it'll help you. It really will. Some of you have the misconception. Some of you are new. We had a lot of visitors in here now, not just in the holidays. We have a lot of people that are coming from other churches who literally are pastored by Pharaoh, who constantly demand all the time on a regular basis, more, 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 give more, go more, do more, go, go, go. And your tongue's hanging out and you're coming here and the preacher's saying, hey, rest. What are we going to do about this stuff? Don't worry about it. The Lord will take care of it. Now, some of you Marthas are freaking out right now.
Amen.
Who's going to put up the stuff? Somebody will put it up. It shouldn't always be the same one. I understand that. But I don't know about you. I don't like to see somebody putting stuff up that don't want to be putting it up. They just have to put it up. I said, go to the house.
Amen.
I don't like to see somebody digging a hole and have a bad attitude. Go to the house. I don't like to see somebody coming to church with a bad attitude. If you got one, go home.
Amen.
I didn't come to preach you out of your bad attitude. You have the wrong attitude. Listen, take your attitude and go to the house. I know you'd say, well, preacher, you're trying to run me off. No, I'm saying, hey, it's a blessing to be in God's house. It's a blessing to serve the Lord, sing His praises, to be able to preach His book, to have a Bible. It's a blessing. It ain't a burden. I got to go to church. I'm just waiting for somebody and had a bunch of stinking logs in the way. I was going to park over there, get my car dirty. Now they probably knew I was coming and put the limbs in front of me anyhow. I was going to go over there and do it, suffer for Jesus, get my wheels dirty. You go to park in the back, can't find a place in the back, pack here all these big rocks. What they put these big rocks back here for? Well, I don't know. You could come early and get a place a little closer. Walk in the door and get ready to have a seat. Somebody sitting where you know it's supposed to have a reserve sign on it for you, because that's where you've been sitting on since Methuselah was on the earth. Don't sit there. When you're not here, your place is vacant. Something's wrong. You're sending the wrong message. You're special. You paid for that spot. Woo, hallelujah. I'm just being honest. That's what a lot of people see in church.
Amen.
Church shouldn't be that way. Man, we should have a good time. Well, preacher, it's Sunday morning. We may not have Sunday night.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 6. Let me hurry. The Bible says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You can get worn out. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's just walk through the Bible here quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. You can get weary with other people, ladies and gentlemen, trying to get them to be what you think they ought to be. If there was ever a time for an independent, fundamental, fire-breathing, hell-hating, heaven-loving Baptist to let go and let God, it's right there. If the Holy Spirit can't tune them up, you ain't gonna tune them up. If the Holy Spirit can't get them here, if you think they are coming for you, then you came for the wrong reason.
Right.
Now the only reason you're coming is so you can show who's coming because you're coming. Then they ain't going to get nothing from Jesus.
Amen.
Don't anchor your joy to other people. Anchor your joy to the giver of joy, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Don't be weary in doing right. What's right to do? Stop thinking about what everybody else is doing and letting that control you. You can't change them. I'm going to get psychological for a second. Some of you people, you worry yourself to death about somebody that did something stupid. And you're over here taking medication while they're on vacation. I must have hit a note. Amen. I mean, you are in a tizzy, man. You are eating pills right and left because I can't believe what they did. They're sitting down having a daiquiri-less frozen drink or whatever by the swimming pool, having them the time of their life, and you are losing sleep. You are mad. You are upset. You can't eat, man. You are tore slap out of the frame. You're running between the bedroom and the bathroom constantly. I mean, you're just tore up, and they're like, how you doing today? I'm doing great, man. Hallelujah. I'm having me a time. How can he be having a good time? He ain't doing what I think he should be doing. He ain't being what I think he ought to be doing. He ain't saying what I think he ought to be saying. Pass the pills, please. Oh, if you could just let go and say, you know something, Lord? I'll be jumped if I am going to get upset over somebody that I can't control. You take care of it. I'm done with it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Man, that would just help you to enjoy church because you know what's going to happen. The second you let go, the prince and poodle's going to walk in the door. You'll be like, oh, did you see that? She come in here with them. She saw me with them shoes on last week. Now, she done gone and got a pair. And everybody's making a fuss over her shoes and they ain't said a word about mine. Put them on display. See, these shoes are such fine shoes. You know where I bought these shoes? We ain't here to see shoes, lady. We ain't here to see how you're dressed or your hairdo. Thank God you got some hair to do. Amen. But how many times have Christians allowed other Christians, saved people, to lick all the chocolate off their peanuts? I mean, listen, to take their lollipop out of the wrapper and lick it and stick the wrapper back on it and say, here, you can have it. You say, what's happened? You're weary in well-doing. If God can't fix them, you ain't going to.
Amen.
Dr. Phil can't fix them. Laura Schlesinger can't fix them. You ain't going to fix them. You know what the Lord's doing? He's like, I'm going to keep letting them bug you until you learn you can't fix them and they don't live their life for you. And as soon as you will let go of that, it'll stop bugging you because I'll straighten them out. You're too interested in their life.
Amen. Good preaching.
Amen.
Well, now, preacher, you have to understand there's certain responsibilities. I'm listening to you. You bitter old bag, you. Amen. I said that for the benefit of people watching. I'm sure none of you are that way. Some of you are wearied with all Christians because all Christians, when you say that, it's like, all Christians have hurt me. No, all Christians haven't hurt you. A handful that you won't never get past in your mind have hurt you. And you know why you don't get past them? Get your feet off the floor. This is going to hurt. Because if you do,
You have to make yourself of no reputation, because they wouldn't be offending you if you didn't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Thank you kindly. The only reason they stir your grits is because of what it does to your reputation. He said with a smile on his face, 1 Corinthians 15. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain. Uh-oh, key phrase. In the Lord. You better make sure that what you're doing, God asks you to do. Amen. That you're not doing it for the purpose of having a ministry, having a name, having a reputation. While I'm on it, let me just say this. No church exists for you to have a ministry. Oh, that went over real good. Like y'all like swallowed that like a cuckaburra or something. No church exists for you to have a ministry. If you have one, it's because God allowed it to be. But the church doesn't exist for you to walk in and say, what ministry you want me to have? I don't know. Try the pew sitting one first for a while. Let's see if you can be faithful to just come to church for a while before we dare let you do anything. You say, why? Well, I'm ready to go. Yeah, but we don't know what you were 20 years before you got here. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. I'm not going to be done by 12, but it won't be much after that. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. I said 2, 3. Make it verse 12. Now them which are such, we command, talking about individuals that are living disorderly, and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. He goes on down there to talk about not having company with the wrong people and things like that. But you know what can happen? Sometimes we make such a big deal out of such a little thing because somebody is doing something we don't think they ought to do. Or fellowshipping with somebody we don't think they ought to fellowship with because we chose not to have fellowship with them. And now we act like little junior high school kids. Well, if we ain't having fellowship with them, you shouldn't have fellowship with them. Like you're the Holy Spirit. Maybe they can handle it. Maybe all you're trying to do is prove a point to them and the Lord's trying to show you something, but you got your head in the sand and you won't realize you are wore out with everybody else's life. And the Lord's saying, you know what? If you just spend some time in the mirror, you wouldn't be so interested. If you could see what I see, you wouldn't be so interested in everybody else. Amen. Sometimes the reason the Lord turns the heat up on us is because we got the heat turned up on so many other people. Yeah. Well, let me give you this in Numbers chapter number 21. Numbers chapter 21. Listen, don't get weary in well-doing. Don't get weary in your working for God, but make sure that the work is not a weight. I realize there's a burden. I understand that. I clearly know what I'm saying, but there's sometimes things you have to be willing to let go to do what God called you to do to begin with. Whenever that begins to contrast against it, you know what you have to do? You have to realize maybe the Lord's ready for that to be passed on somewhere else, and you got to get busy doing what God's got you doing right now. Yeah, but Lord, don't you understand? Yeah, Philip's the illustration. They're having a, throwdown meeting, 3,000 people getting saved, Peter preaching, a revival like you can't imagine. And the Lord says, Philip, come with me. I got one fella over there on the Ethiopian eunuch that's headed in the wrong direction and I need you to go talk to him. One guy. But Lord, the meeting's going on over here. I don't care. I got something I need you to do. But Lord, what are all the people going to think? I guarantee you there were some people that were there thinking, ain't Philip one of them apostles? How come he ain't here? How come he's not doing this right here? The Lord's like, because I got him doing something for me that apparently nobody else knows about except the Apostle Paul writes about it a little bit later on. But apparently nobody else knows about it. Amen. He didn't have to answer to the people. He answered to the Lord. Let me say this, and I don't mean to be mean-spirited, so let me try to sort of tone it down.
Come on, brother.
Hi.
No. Don't be a
preacher. We're so glad that you're here. Such a blessing. And if we don't call you or send you a card or knock on your door when you're not here, it's not because you don't matter. We don't mind, and you don't matter.
I mean, no, I shouldn't have said it that way. No, you do matter. But see, what has happened is that the church has become focused on people, and you've been brought up to believe that when you miss your Sunday school class, most of you come out of Southern Baptist churches. Now, lest you get offended, I get to talk about everybody else, but don't talk about them. I was raised Southern Baptist. I was Southern Baptist 9 months before I was born. I know every trick in the book. And you're raised up to believe because you have a social director and you have a group leader that whenever you're not there, they are calling you and then they're checking on you to see if you're reading your Bible. And every week they call you. And what they're doing is you never learn to walk on your own or ride a bicycle without training wheels. There's always somebody along the way say, did you read your Bible today? Did you pray today? Are you coming to visitation today? Are you coming to the meeting today? Are you going to come to supper? Are you going to be at the special event? Are you going to be with us on Friday night for this and that and the other? Are you going to be here? Oh, and notice you missed church. Is everything okay? Is everybody okay? Is everything all right? And so what happens is the group leader's burdened because the responsibility is you must not be a very good group leader because the 10 people you're assigned to, there ain't but 3 of them here. Some of you won't amen that because you hadn't been far enough removed from the Southern Baptist bondage of making you believe that people are the most important thing. At some point, people have to have their own relationship with the Lord. And if you have to poke them and prod them and plead with them and beg them and pick them up like Mephibosheth and run around with them all the time, ladies and gentlemen, I got news for you. You won't ever get close to Jesus. Amen. You'll be too busy picking up people. And you're training them. You're training them. Hey, when I'm out. Then if the church grows and they get left out, it's kind of like, that church done growed up now. They ain't got time for us little people. Silence got deafening there. Well, why'd you come to church in the first place? One lady said to me one time, rather crassly, I might say, and she came back to church. She'd been out for a little while, and I'll be honest, I'd been out of town and stuff, and I really didn't notice that she was gone. And she said to me right off the bat, hey, preacher, how are you? I said, I'm fine. It's good to see you. She said, well, you should be good to see me. I've been gone a long time. You know, I've been in the hospital. I said, no, ma'am, I didn't know. She said, well, I want to know why you didn't come see me. And I said, I didn't know you were in there or I would have. She said, somebody should have told you. I said, who was the somebody? Amen. Why don't you pick up the phone and say, preacher, I'm in the hospital. Will you come pray with me? Amen. I don't have like a crystal ball like, Mitch is in the hospital. He's having a gallbladder attack. Hey, Brother Mitch, how are you doing? Fine. Well, the Lord told me you were in the hospital. I came by here. Oh, there's a prophet among us. Now, see, some of you are angry right now because you can't handle the truth of the matter that most churches have been raised in a Laodicean time period to believe that the church revolves around people instead of revolving around Jesus Christ, and we're rich and increased with goods and don't have need of nothing, and the Lord's outside knocking on the door in the last day saying, hey, let me in. Sorry, Lord, too crowded in here, too much about the people. We don't need you right now. I'm not complaining. I love to go to the hospital as long as it's y'all getting the surgery. Long as you're the one sick, I will uplift you. How to pray? Oh God, get them well. Thank God, give me some of that juice to get on my hands. Huh? I'm leaving now. God, they're in your hands. By faith, you said, I'm trusting you. Take care of them, Lord. Bless that doctor. Thank God for pain pills. I like going there. I'm going to shock you. I really don't mind doing funerals. I really don't. I don't like funerals, but I don't mind doing them. They're not joyous occasions, but I don't mind doing them. But ladies and gentlemen, too often, listen carefully. We make too much fuss over dead Christians. I'm not talking about dead bodies. We make too much fuss over dead Christians and don't realize our eyes are off of Jesus Christ because we're trying to prop up the spiritually dead. The Baptist zombies. The only difference in a Baptist zombie and the other ones is you can hit a Baptist zombie in the head all day long. It don't do nothing. Their head's too hard to put a spike in it. Amen. That's good preaching. I am trying to make a point. The devil likes to get you cumbered about with everybody else. And here's the sad thing about it is, it actually sounds like it should be that way. But the church was not designed to revolve around a person unless that person is Jesus Christ. Amen. By the way, if you go to the hospital, just assume I don't know and call me. Or if you want to be real spiritual, call somebody else and say, don't tell the preacher that I told you to call. I'm in the hospital. I'm dying. It's going to be terrible. What's wrong with you? I got a hangnail. It's ingrown. Oh, it hurts so bad. Have him come pray for me. I'll come, boy. I don't care if it's the flu or fever. I'll come. I don't care. But don't think if I don't come, that preacher don't care about me. Why don't you care if Jesus cares? Amen. One lady said to me one time, well, you went and saw so-and-so and you didn't come see me. I said, well, there was a difference. She said, what's that? I said, I knew they were there and I didn't know you were. You didn't even give me, this is not a level playing field.
Amen.
Is that not reality? You wouldn't want to be held to that standard.
Amen.
But it's like when we come to church, it's like, I expect that Sunday school teacher to know my son's not in church. Yeah, and the first time they call and say, where was your son? It's like, he ain't got no driver's license. What business is it of yours? I don't appreciate you sticking. Sorry, I was just checking on Johnny to see if he was going to... Oh, man. It is true. Them kids can't help it if they're late for Sunday school. They ain't driving. You Sunday school teachers, you can't be bawling them out. You say, what, they ain't got a driver's license? What you doing coming in here late? My mom and dad were fighting. I didn't even think we were coming. And I think the only reason I'm here is they didn't want me to hear him yelling. They're still in the car. Numbers 21. My goodness, I'm running out of time. Numbers 21. Look, if you will, in verse number 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. You're not going to always feel like it.
Amen.
Do you always feel like going to work?
No.
Sometimes you do, like Friday payday. Right? Sometimes you don't mind going to work. Sometimes you got a job you really enjoy doing. Do you always feel like going to school? Whether you're homeschooled or Christian schooled or public schooled or ever what, do you always want to go? Thank you for being honest. Y'all going to grow up to be good girls. You don't always get to go. Let me ask you a question. Does your mama or daddy say to you, do y'all feel like going to school today? Probably not. They're like, get your carcass out of that bed and get ready for school, right? You won't always feel like coming to church. You have to put in a little bit of spiritual spizzerinctum. You have to put in a little effort. You have to say, you know what? I don't feel like it, but I got to show some spiritual character. The measure of your faith is not determined by mountaintops. It's determined by how many valleys you go through and come out on the other side.
Amen.
I was told this a long time ago by a preacher friend of mine. He says, success is measured by how many times you bounce off the bottom. I thought, that's profound. I'm going to write that one down. I wrote it down so many times, I memorized it. But Christian, let me just say this. Sometimes you can get weary because you're thinking, well, that means I should just always feel like it. No, not all the time. Sometimes the expectation that you're going to wake up on Sunday morning, you can't wait to go get yelled at. Oh, I can't wait to go and listen to that idiot yell at me again today. Somebody's saying amen. Y'all are being real courteous, but you're like, oh boy, I had to agree with that because I was out at the club last night and I got a headache. I don't know how he knows that, but man, that 7-7 wearing on me. Fingernails on the chalkboard. I was a policeman for a long time. I know where Christians are on Saturday night. I've seen them with the bumper sticker in the parking lot of the bar. Yeah, in case of rapture, this car will be unmanned. Yeah. In case you get behind the wheel drunk, it will be unmanned too. I will help you out. You now have my special undivided attention. I will be down the street waiting on you. I've heard that was what used to happen. I don't know if it is or not. But in my mind's eye, if you leave in a bar, you probably weren't in there for your health. So I don't think there's nothing wrong with checking you out. You're profiling me. You're right. I did. I'm not there no more. Statute of limitations has run out. You didn't want me to catch you. You shouldn't have been in the bar. Not you shouldn't have been drinking. You shouldn't have been in there with me patrolling the parking lot and have a rapture sticker on your car. Yes, that actually happened. He got his own private sermon. And he was detained against his will. Let me give you another one real quick. Come in Luke chapter number 12 quickly. Make it Titus chapter 2. I got several of these things in here. Don't be weary in your work and your witness and your way. Don't get weary in your worship. Don't get tired of coming to church. He says, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, even more so as you see the day approach. Seeming to indicate as the day gets ready to approach that most Christians quit looking for him. Like he's going to hinder them or something. I don't understand that. Man, I'd love to be in church when Jesus comes. Amen. I think it'd be a great place to be. Amen. Really. Amen. I need to yell a little bit more. I'm out of practice. I'm losing my voice already. That's not a good thing. I need to toughen my voice up a little bit. What I'm trying to do, ladies and gentlemen, is help you to enjoy Jesus. Come for Jesus. Don't come for everybody else. Don't come for the preacher. Don't come for the other people. Come for Jesus. Hey, you know what? He'll be glad you're here. And sure as the world, he'll be glad you're here. There will be somebody that ain't glad you're here. What are they doing here? I don't know. Jesus is happy, though. Amen. Let me give you one more, and we'll go to the house for this morning anyway, and just give you some time to think about some stuff. If I preach long enough, you just be here for do the decoration, then we'll just have church and go home. We'll just fast. Oh man, did I just cuss? Baptist cuss word, fast. You heard of four-letter curse words? Fast. After Thanksgiving, it wouldn't hurt us to just be in church all day.
That's right.
My wife pulled a tape I did back in 99 or something like that. And I called her on the phone. She was riding down the road. Her car's like a 1999 thing and still got a cassette player in it. So she's still playing cassettes. Lucky it ain't 8-tracks. And she's playing, and I'm listening to this screaming in the background, and I'm talking to her on the phone, and I said, what in the world? And she says, you don't recognize that? I said, heavens, no. Who are you listening to? She said, you. I said, oh, what a blessing, baby. That's what, oh, hallelujah. Man, he's really ripping it. She said, you preached it in 1999. I said, should we put it up? She goes, no. She goes, you're like preaching against everything. It's all wrong. And if it's dead, you resurrect it, kill it, and raise it again. I said, turn him down. I can't hear you. She said, you've been like that since you started an hour and a half ago. The 90-minute tape has already turned over to the other side, and you're still going. I said, God, help us. God, help the people that were there. They're probably all dead, laid out, fell out all over the sanctuary. I think it should be something for the vault series. I'm going to give you this one, and I'm going to do my best to close, I promise. But Titus chapter number 2, look at verse number 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. You should pay attention to how you live. Can I just say this to you, ladies and gentlemen? If you would concentrate more on living that way, church wouldn't always feel like you were coming in for a spanking. If you literally try, you wouldn't get so mad at the preacher when the Holy Spirit has him hit something, and then you get mad and get flustered and stay out of church for 6 weeks. Then you walk back in and it gets hit again, and you're like, every time I'm there! And the Lord's like, yep. Because He just keeps that there, so when He sees you walk in the door, He hits it again because He can't stand you. That's not true. You hadn't been here in 6 weeks, and the Lord's like, you didn't hear me the first time. But if you would learn to just live that way, when you come to church, it's kind of like, I'm not expecting a beating. I didn't mind coming home to the house when I knew I was going to get dinner and my mom and dad were going to talk to me and stuff. I always minded coming home when I knew I was going to get my hind end tore up when I got in, because I knew it had it coming. So we come to church, it's like, I know I got it coming. And then lo and behold, it actually happens. It's like, I can't believe this. And the Lord's like, I've been telling you all week.
Amen.
What business has He got telling me? It ain't Him. It's me using a donkey to try to tell you. When your donkey talks, sometimes you ought to listen. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of a great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Don't get tired of looking for His return. So, preacher, He hadn't come yet. No, He hadn't, but He is.
Amen.
When's He coming? It's imminent. He could come today. There's some people in here who could testify He's come for your loved ones already, hadn't He? Hadn't He? Come on, you can say amen. That's not hurtful. That's a true statement. They're gone. My dad's rapture, in a sense, has occurred. 20-something years ago now. What you going to do about that? Don't get tired of looking for Him to come back. Whether death or whether rapture, if you keep your eyes on the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you'd be surprised how much it will help you to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Hey, I'm living as if Jesus is coming today.
Amen.
Don't fill 2 Peter 3, where's the promise of His coming, like it's God's fault because He ain't come yet. It ain't God's fault. He's coming when He gets ready.
Amen.
Until then, He's just extending His grace for more people to get in.
Amen.
If you have loved ones that are lost, while you should be looking forward for Him coming, at the same time, you should say, Lord, thank You that You're giving them a little bit more time. Your clock's going to run out sooner or later. And when it does, you're going to come home.
Amen.
Don't get weary. Don't bear the weight that so easily besets you. Just lay aside that weight and run the race God has you to run.